Huzzah, Rangers! This is Phil Harris here at the Jack's Rangers Show. I am joined with Diamond Dave McVeigh. Dave, how the hell are you?
I'm doing very well, Phil. Very well indeed. How about you?
Hanging in there, pal. I just had a vegan milkshake and then a beer on top of that, so my stomach is going to hate me for the rest of the evening. Let's get right into the sponsor for this and every single episode of the Jack's Rangers Show. That, of course, is going to be Inkify. Inkify does embroidery and custom printing. That's been going on since 2010. Inkify provides high-quality decorated apparel nationwide, from ordering the apparel to printing, adding a private label, folding, bagging, and fulfillment. They handle it all, so you don't have to. Head over to Inkify.com to get started on your order and tell them TJRS sent you, and you'll get 15% off of your entire order, and that is a hell of a deal. Let's talk about the watch along that took place real quick on Sunday evening. Bozo and I were at the Granite Outpost. For those that didn't catch the game and plan on watching it, make sure you queue up the watch along from Sunday as your alternative commentary. We will continue to do those throughout the season during all free Jack away games. And you never know who's going to jump on the live stream with us. It could be Diamond Dave. It could be James Horkin from all the way in London, England, checking in. You just never know who's going to jump on. And we do like to get guys that are at the game, whether it be Kenny Thompson, Colonel Kenny, who likes to go to a lot of the away games, or maybe a correspondent out there that's friendly with this show. We like to have those folks jump on either pregame or halftime to give their thoughts and tell us how the weather is and all that fun stuff. So I just think it's a really, really cool addition to the show, and there's glad that we're continuing to do that. And yeah, speaking absolutely. Of which, I was going to say Bozo is in the chat, but he's not right now. I'm surprised. He has not checked in, so hopefully we'll get him on here at some point to say that he's in the chat.
It's
very unlike Bozo to not have announced himself in the chat.
Mysterious,
but,
even.
Yeah, not sure. Not sure what's going on there. Hopefully he's okay. Let's go ahead and move over to the Free Jacks article that was written up about our game against the LA Dickheads that took place on Sunday. Let me pull that up right now. There we go. In a Boston versus LA matchup, the New England Free Jacks, which are 6-2 and 29 table points, outlasted RFC Los Angeles, who is 1-6-1, to score a 34-12 win. So a victory was the defending Major League Rugby champs' sixth win in eight matches, highlighting the Free Jacks' five-try effort were Reese McDonald and Danyon Morgan-Puttarangi, who each chased down kicks with long runs and diving sets in the second half. Puttarangi had a two-try performance. Andrew Quatran and Seta Baker also added to the Free Jacks' braces. The first place Free Jacks are 6 points clear of second place Chicago. That is what Bozo kept talking about in our Outrider chat prior to the game, that he wanted, and he talked about it in the watch along as well. He wanted to see a bonus point victory, all 5 points from the Free Jacks out west, and that's exactly what took place, so that we are secured in our position next week. Well, this coming week, actually, or this coming Sunday? Yes, this coming Sunday, we are playing the Chicago Hounds at home at Fort Quincy. And even if there was some sort of strange situation where we didn't win and didn't gather any points, we will still be ahead of Chicago regardless of the outcome of that game in the Eastern Conference. So that's Chicago, of course, is visiting Veterans Memorial Stadium, Fort Quincy, in Quincy on Sunday at noon Eastern time. It's an early kickoff there. But I just wanted to get your overall thoughts on the game. What was your observations? You got any stats for us? What's your overall take on that?
Yeah, I thought it was a really entertaining game. I enjoyed the way that we went about scoring our tries. It was pretty lively. I definitely was most focused on the set piece, which was an area that needed serious improvement coming out of the previous week against Seattle. Mm-hmm. We saw some really good improvement in the scrums. The pack rotated a fair bit, and so we had, for the first half, a 100% win rate for our put ins at the scrum. Second half, 83. Overall, we had 10 scrums that were our put in. We won 9 of them. The one we lost was actually just a free kick, right? It's not that we scrummaged and lost scrummaging. It was a technical error. So we, on the bind, referee wasn't happy with how early we came in. Seattle ended up standing up rather than accept the engage. And the ref just said, you know what? I hadn't called him in yet. Free kick to Seattle. You know, just a timing error, essentially. So not a big deal. Scrum was very much improved. I thought John Roy Jenkinson had a pretty good game. He was very busy out in the loose at one point. Patros gets a breakaway, and JR's right there, man. He is motoring along. He's, like, in a support, and he takes a pass. Like, he's at so much pace that Patros, I think, is actually offloading it to Vanderbank, who's kind of streaking in on a support line, cutting JR off to intercept the pass. So the ball's a little behind JR, but he's so ready and, like, doing that job that he reaches back behind him and makes what's actually a really great catch, you know. Ends up stealing it from Vanderbank and then, you know, goes down and it's a clean ruck. He was really working hard. I think the scrum showed it. Really good scrummaging from the Jacks. Pretty impressed with Malachi Halla as well. He had a good first half, a couple breaks. He did not have his trade. He seemed to be getting like one big break with the ball every time he gets a start or an appearance, rather. I don't think he had a huge one this match, but he did impress. He played very well overall. Q was
just explosive. Absolutely killing it.
He was all over the place in the loose, working well in the scrums. I really thought the overall, in most areas, the pack in particular had a really good game. Really, a big improvement in terms of energy, and they really brought it defensively. The defensive power of this team is. We talk about the attack a lot and how cool it is, and it's flashy and it's exciting. And we talk about turnovers and how we turn the ball over and exploit teams, but like just the tackling, our ability to tackle to stop teams from scoring. Is fantastic, and I thought that was really on show this match as well. Overall, pretty good. I haven't talked about the line out yet.
oh, boy.
Yeah, so the line out was a problem. All those positives said, the line out was not pretty. Our line out success rate in the first half was 57%. We made changes on the props, like at the half.
Yes.
Right. So to me, what that says is that the coaches said to the four props who were playing, listen, you guys all, you each get a half. You're all going to get 40 minutes. I think it worked out pretty well in terms of the rotation. Maybe a little curious to see Fozzie start and Malachi come off the bench, just because Malachi's been so explosive off the bench. He seems to bring a lot of pop. Geiger does as well. I kind of like Malachi and Caleb as our two prop replacements. I think that they kind of change the dynamic, give a little bit of a bomb squad kind of effect in the loose.
Yes.
But overall, That change happened at the half, right, to split time evenly, and the lineouts did not improve from there either.
No, not at all.
The lineouts in the second half were I had a 20%, 1 of 5.
That's a disaster, man.
Which is not good. That's a disaster. That's well worse than a coin flip. At that point, it's. You know, you'd expect if somebody's just throwing the ball in randomly, you'd expect to win about half of them, right?
Right.
So to be that low really means that we were getting beat. I tried to keep an eye on what was causing it, at least to some degree. In the first half, there's an overthrow. There's one stolen. Or sorry, the second half. The first one is stolen, like the line out right off the bat. They just get up and steal it. The second one's an overthrow right after. There were a couple times where we had multiple lineouts in a row that just did not go well. Around 70 minutes, we keep it, but it's ugly. 75 minutes, we get a scrum penalty, right? So the scrums in the second half. Oh, I wanted to talk about this in the scrums too. Chris, Superfan Chris, gets full credit for knowing what was going on in the scrums. He asked during the second half. He was like, they get called at 75 minutes for collapsing. Their loose head is collapsing the scrum, right? So the first two scrums to New England in the second half, we kept the ball, but the scrum went down, if you remember.
Yes.
The ref just says, use it. We use the ball. We move on. The next scrum is the free kick. Then the scrum after that, we finally get a penalty. They get called for collapsing it. And Chris, at that point, asked, have they been doing that this entire time? Is that why our scrum has gone down and looked bad? And yes, they absolutely were. If you go back and watch it, what you're looking for is the left elbow of the loose head prop. And it's actually really prominently visible in the angle. You don't always get a good angle to see the cheating. And in this case, you do. And like, remember, I use cheating really lightly.
Yeah.
This is just kind of how
dark arts work. Dark arts, man.
Like, it's, I don't impugn anybody's character. I'm a stand-up guy. I follow the laws of rugby. And I point my elbow the wrong direction sometimes in a scrum. It's, you know, it's just how the game is played. But they are. It's a good way to exploit somebody like Caleb, who is very strong but has not been, just in the sheer volume of scrums, somebody who's played longer.
Not a lot of
been
experience,
in.
Yes.
Not as experienced. What do you do against a guy who's not experienced? You cheat until he figures out how to stop you from cheating.
There you go.
I mean, this is, we've all, I would hope, done it if you've competed in a sport. Like, that's kind of how you use your savvy veteran status to get one over on somebody who's maybe a little younger, maybe a little stronger. You're like, yeah, but I know how to fight dirty.
Right.
So that elbow points, it's supposed to be up, right? If the loose head's left arm, he's supposed to keep it nice and high and show that he's pushing across with that arm and keeping stability. But what he can do is drop it way down and crank. And now the tight head can do the same thing. The elbows are good indicators on both sides. But what you see in those scrums is you see that elbow drop really far down. He's pulling in really tight, which is going to have the effect of pulling down on Caleb, right? When the tight head does it, they're usually trying to kind of corkscrew the loose head, so twist him on his axis a little bit, which makes it really impossible for him to drive square and lift you up.
Right.
When the loose head does it, it really applies a lot of downward pressure. It destabilizes the tight head. The loose head has a lot of different ways to destabilize the tight head and kind of mess him up, and in so doing try to mess up the whole scrum for the other team.
So we're talking about collapsing the scrum by pressure.
Yeah. By pressure and just, you know, messing up the guy's mechanics. And that's what was going on. So we were keeping the ball in those scrums. It was collapsing, which seems to be like, our scrum's not good, but, you know, it's somebody on the other team kind of fucking with us and deliberately collapsing it in order to maybe try to milk a penalty on us for collapsing, because visually what you see is we go down first, because it's just in jiu-jitsu it's what we call triangulation, right? There's force kind of pulling down on above your center of gravity, and you've got nothing underneath you that you can use to resist, and that's just really effective at bringing somebody down. We get a penalty for that finally. We kick. We have like a 5 meter, 7 meter line out, great kick from Potty. And we just like beef it. My note literally just says, bruh. Because like, we're like, okay, here we go. Great attacking chance. We won this penalty in the scrum. Right. You know, we got this the hard way. Eight guys had to go down, you know, on their bellies in a scrum for the third time in a row before we finally get this penalty. And we just beef the line out. And it's just a killer. It's a coach killer. It's a momentum killer.
100%.
We got to get the line outs fixed. Now, what I'll say is that as Wes, my buddy, I was talking to him about it today, as he put it, he said, it sounds like sometimes you got to take a step back in order to move forward. And I think that is what we did in this match a little bit. These were new arrangements of jumpers and lifters. I don't think we've seen much live time. Of course, they've been training it in training. Like, they've all been doing this all week. They've been prepping for it. I'm not saying these guys have never worked together. But it's just different when you're in a live competitive
Absolutely.
game.
Absolutely, 100%.
Right, the timings are a little different. You're playing against guys who are not just trying to give you hard opposition or earn a spot, but they're like, this is the real deal. This is the big show.
Right.
They just looked a little bit quicker in the air than us on a lot of these lineouts that didn't go so great. If they can read the place and the timing of the lineout, and then they get their guy up faster, they're going to be in front. They're going to be higher, and it's really difficult to get that ball in that situation. So maybe, you know, the coaches and the players know what plays they're calling and what that's supposed to look like. They know mm-hmm. to look, is our misdirection not working, right? Those kind of fakes and jukes. Do we need to tweak that? Do we need to change what we're doing? Have teams figured out our timing or our coding? Are they queuing on something that we don't know? Are we just slow in the air? Do we need to work on like the simple lifting mechanics? It's going to be a problem like that. It's going to be something that's addressable. I'm not pulling the ripcord or anything on our line out yet. I think they still have time to fix it. Ultimately, it's not a championship game. We needed a win. Right. We needed 5 points, and we got what we needed. I mean, I was really happy with the match and how it went. It's just, you know, at this point, the lineouts are becoming a little bit of an elephant in the room, which just presents its own problems, right? It just adds more pressure on these guys to perform 100%. And execute each time, and you just don't want to get into, a negative cycle on it. So.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, if you look at the scoreline, you think, well, Free Jacks ran away with it, you know, based on just purely looking at the score. Most people would say, well, that's probably about what I would expect, right? Like, it was kind of in the neighborhood of our guesses with the actual predictions. I think Bozo was the closest. But at the same time, it was also like, it was hard to watch at certain points, man. It's the lineout's particularly frustrating. As a guy that, you know, jumped my entire rugby, you know, career, it pains me to watch. Like, I think it might be the worst lineout performance I've ever seen from a professional team. Like, when you look at the whole 80 minutes, I don't think I've ever seen anything worse.
As a 42% lineout win rate is what I had. That's, you know, keeping my own stats as I was watching the game.
It's not good, man.
Yeah.
It was super frustrating.
Like I said, worse than a coin flip.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know the timing. You know what is going to be called. And you're the one throwing the ball in. So you would expect it to be well over 50% every single game. So that's something that they have to work on. That's my biggest critique. I'm sure that they'll get it figured out. But watching it, like, my whole thing was like, you know, dub's a dub. We talked about this in our Outriders chat. Bozo was saying, you know, we've got to get the 5 points or it's a failure. And I kind of rolled my eyes at that when I saw it. I'm just like, come on, man. Like, we know that everybody's better in the league. We know that LA is a decent team. They're not great. They're not championship caliber. They're not contenders for a championship. But it's at their place, and they've played teams hard this season. So just getting out of there with a win, I would have been happy with it. That was my mindset walking into the Granite Bunker. But as I sat down and the night of negativity over here is just beating it to death, and I'm also like listening, like, you know what? He's right. He's right. It doesn't look good at certain points, especially the lineout. It was frustrating to watch that performance. Now, there was some great, amazing performances. We'll get into that here in a moment with our MVP. There's a lot of guys that, you know, held their hand up and said, you know, this is sloppy, because it was at certain points in the game, but I'm going to just drag our team into a winning position here by helping us win the game. It reminds me of what Scott Matthews said. He said, be positive, right? In last week's interview with our head coach, he said, be positive. You know, the league, my gathering from that was like, he's saying that the league has gotten better. There's going to be some bumps in the road here, but we need to remain positive. And I'm going to try to do that. But boy, it was hard watching that game.
It was. And even in the lineout, there were good moments. Like the mall try that we got, that I think was actually Baker that touched it down, right?
Yes,
at the back.
Yes.
That was beautiful. They made it about two or three steps into the mall. And I turned to my wife, Becky, and I said, that's a try. Like, that mall's going in. They're not stopping it. They've got too much momentum. And they just absolutely marched. They got one little shiver where they kind of stopped, and it just sheared off perfectly alongside of it. And they got in and touched it down. I mean, that was textbook. That's as clean as it gets. When they execute, it really seems the problem is not our execution after the catch. The problem is the catch itself. It is reeling the ball in from, you know, the throw. There's something in the throw and the catch that's not clicking. It's it's across different throwers. I don't like it's not just like
our guy stinks.
You know, like when we had Peter Janssen, people like to dogpile on him whenever. I felt people were kind of unfair to him whenever Mills there were line-out errors.
Mills loved
to dogpile, and like it's hard, and especially when you see it across throwers, it's like these guys didn't forget how to throw overnight. It seems like it's some kind of system problem. I'm glad it's not my job to try to figure it out and fix it. I'm confident they will. I think they have a really good coaching core here.
Absolutely.
And a good leadership team among the players who are all about that accountability and addressing those problems and getting them fixed. And if they can get that catch taken care of, man, they're still real good at attacking with the ball off the line out as long as they can just get the ball nice and clean.
Yeah.
When we get a clean take, we do good stuff with it. We got to get more of those.
Yeah. It's not like we don't have the personnel to get it done, right? Like that's the encouraging part is we've got international locks, we've got international hookers throwing the ball in. It'll get figured out. We've got Kyle Bailey, who's not only a Canadian international, he just happens to be a line-out specialist. That's kind of his thing. And he's on this team. So I mean, it will get figured out. It's just frustrating to watch, and the sloppy play didn't help. But a dub's a dub. We won the game. We got 5 tries. And, I mean, it looked mostly convincing. It wasn't like at any point LA was going to, like, crawl back into this game. It never felt like that. We were in control the entire time. It's just the little errors that kind of frustrate me and Bozo during the watch-along. But let's move over to Musket Size Pants Tent. I probably should have given this to Connor Young, our former prop, who is now playing with LA. I definitely thought he played an excellent game. He did a fantastic job. Got himself on the first 15 for MLR. But I'm going to go, surprisingly enough, with Jason Dam. 29 years old, 6'4", 250 pounds, loose forward who was happy to be playing in the lock position in this game, a little bit out of position for him. Former All-American at Clemson University, a veteran of this league, having played for Glendale, Atlanta, and now LA. Had a breakaway in the game and put in a solid performance for LA. I believe he played the entire game. Good player, and that says a lot coming from me. I'm going to move over to MVP, and I'm going to let you go first.
Yeah, so probably no surprise for me. I'm going to go with Reese McDonald.
Wow.
There's one main reason. Reese is always very active around the park, getting work done.
Yes.
But this week, he had what was probably the all-time try of rugby. I don't know. He kicked that ball from our own 10-meter line.
Yeah.
Right? Behind our own 10-meter line. So, 11, 12 meters from halfway.
Mm-hmm.
He then ran the entire half of the pitch from halfway to the goal line. And the ball was set up half of... 6 inches away from the dead ball line.
That's right.
He covered also like another 6-8 meters beyond that. You're talking about like a set. I don't know if it's a full 50 meters. I don't know exactly how big their park is, but like 60, 70 meter run to chase that kick in a shockingly short amount of time to get there.
Yes.
Caught LA sleeping. Playing the ball in the goal with their back to the opposition. They didn't see him coming. He dives. His timing. I mean, if he'd been a split second later, it's all for nothing. And like, what a nice try from Reese. He's so fast.
Great effort.
Yeah. Oh, he always runs so hard. But of course, no chance. He was it was as tight as it could have been.
Yep.
And he gets it down to score the try. Injury to his shoulder. I think, you know, I trust my buddy Wes again. He's got proven to have a pretty expert eye for injuries from the stands. It's kind of uncanny. He's not too worried. He said, probably, you know, like maybe a minor dislocation or like a sprained AC joint.
Yeah.
Something that there. And I'm not a medical professional. That's not diagnosis or information. I want to be like, I always try to be really careful talking about players' health and stuff. These are people's careers.
Sure.
But what I'm saying is, I don't think it's that bad. I think probably Wes has proven right in the past on other stuff, and he's like, I think he's going to be back in a week or two. I don't think it's a big deal.
I'll do you one better, Dave. I'll tell you sources close to the club. No. Sources close to the player say it's not that bad.
Hey.
And they will reevaluate in the next couple days.
That's good news. So, yeah, Reese, I think it's wise to... I mean, obviously it's bad enough to come off anyway, but like, right. I think it's why he's a really important player. You want to protect him. You don't want Reese playing hurt. So if he takes a week, two off, that is fine by me. He's a guy we really want coming into the stretch. So critical to our team. He played an amazing, amazing match when he was out there. So Reese McDonald.
Speaking of which, that is the second time that he's done that. He has terrorized Dougie Fife at Fort Quincy. In that similar type of play,
yep.
But this one was, how could it possibly be? It was 100 times better. I don't remember if it was their 15 or one of their backs is about to, you know, grab the ball and then touch it down to basically yeah. in the play, and then he's there. Like, this guy doesn't even look up. He's like, he's slowly yeah. looking up, and then immediately Reese is there, diving head first, by the way, and touching that ball down. It is the best play that you'll see all season long in MLR. It might be the best try score of any MLR in history, game in history. It's that big. Like,
it's I mean, it was
anything.
He got it down, and I think I just said, what?
Yeah.
Like, even the view, maybe that's why it's so impressive too. It's like, even you as the viewer,
right?
You don't really know he's yeah. coming.
Yeah.
It's like a horror movie shot. Like, yes. Suddenly the red rocket just shoop streaks yeah. into the frame and slaps the ball down. You are also expecting this player to just touch the ball, would have made the ball dead. You know, he's got a foot in the dead, you know, over the dead ball line so that it would kill the ball and it would go all the way back from where it was kicked from. It'd be the same as if Reese kicked it out the back. That's what he's right. going for, and that's why he's being kind of lackadaisical.
Yes.
He's hoping that the ball rolls out on his own, and when it doesn't, he's like, well, I'm savvy. I know that if I stand, you know, astride the line and touch it, then it counts as being out. And he just gets burned for it. It's almost like sevens. Like, you see those kinds of plays in sevens where right. guys are maybe exhausted and make a mental error,
yep.
or just there's so many tries that, like, sometimes they come from weird sources. Maybe that's it. But it was almost like a sevens try in that, like, what? How did that even just happen?
Yep. So that is, now think back to that intercept in Charlotte in the first game. That try against Dougie Fife, where Dougie will be thinking about that for a long time. That's in Dougie's nightmares. He's waking up in a cold sweat thinking about that. Yeah. And but congratulations on 50 caps, by the way, Dougie. But also that one. That's three, like, epic tries that have been scored just by Reese McDonald alone. And they have to be at the end of the year in the top five, I'm sure. This guy's a special player. Like, he is a huge difference maker, and yeah. we're all got our fingers crossed that it's not a long-term injury that he sustained in that try that he scored. And of course, I'm, you know, talking about him because he is also my MVP and well deserved. Like I said, I don't remember ever seeing when that happened, Dave. Like, I lost my shit for a second. Like, I forgot that I was doing a watch along. Like, I felt like I was in outer space somewhere, and then the red rocket just, like, soared past me. You know what I mean? Like, it was insane, man. It was wild.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, great player, great try, man. It doesn't get much better than that at any level. Yeah. Woo.
Okay. We're lucky. You know, I mean, we're fortunate lucky, to get to watch man. That kind of stuff. That's awesome.
100%. Any closing thoughts for this game?
No, it was a good one. Like I said, a lot of good stuff. I was looking mostly at the pack. Cam came through and had a great kill at one point. On a mall where he came through clean right
Yeah, he
through the
did.
middle and just, you know, got onto the ball. They're contesting really well. Malachi, I talked about a little bit already. He was really good in the loose, nice and clean. He also had a good mall stop where you see. Go watch the very first line. It's like 1 minute in. So you can just start the match, go to the beginning. LA get a line out right at the beginning, and they get a maul. Watch him hit the maul, and it just shudders and stops. And that's what it is. It keeps moving a little bit. It kind of rolls off. But, like, that's what it looks like when somebody really gets stuck in and makes a difference and stops a maul that is a threat. I thought that was really good, really powerful from him. Thebus then like gets he comes through the middle on that one and gets the steal. It's like a really good effective combination from the two of them. So, you know, lots of bright stuff. Like I said, it was a really entertaining match. I enjoyed it. I felt good. You know, feels nice to get a couple tries, go up, and then not everything was perfect, but there was a lot of really good positives, a lot of growth from the week before.
Yeah.
Really, really entertaining time. Cannot wait for Chicago.
It's going to be a big game, man. Big,
yes.
Big game. And we'll be talking about that in the next episode. And with that being said, we've got one word for everybody out there in 3, 2, 1, huzzah!
Huzzah!